There are some very interesting things going on in this gospel passage. As far as I can tell, this gospel passage is not at any time read to people in the using the Novus Ordo. I think it only appears this and whatever parallels there are in Scripture. I believe I may be mistaken in this, but I don't think that this ever is read even a single time in any Mass during the entire year in all of the different cycles of Scripture in the Novus Ordo, and yet we have. Holy Church has chosen to give us this on this particular Sunday. Since the most ancient time of the church in Rome, today the Roman station was at St. Lawrence outside the walls. And this is a day in which the scrutinies would take place with the catechumens coming into the church, where they would be interrogated and so forth about what they have been learning and what their motives were for coming into the church. And of course, it's a kind of an ominous place to do that, because St. Lawrence, the great deacon, was burned alive on an iron grate. So when you are a catechumen coming into the church and you're hearing all of these, the prayers and the chants and the readings and so forth as they are, which have a pretty serious tone to them, and then you're being scrutinized to see, you know, what your motives are and what you're learning, you get the sense really, really quickly that this is serious business I'm getting myself into. This is serious business that could cost me my life. And so we've been hearing these readings in Holy Church on this particular Sunday since before the time of Gregory the Great, who died in 604. That's how important the church thought it was for you to hear this reading. And the reading from Paul about purity. You know, think about what he says in here. If you're ever wondering if it's okay, well, maybe to sin a little. Be sure of this. No fornicator or impure man or one who is covetous, that is an idolater. An idolater is someone who puts something created good on the throne of his heart where God belongs. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. All right. Well, that's pretty serious. I think we should take the Lord at his word, don't you? We should take the Lord at his word. Now, there are a couple things in this gospel passage that I think we have to underscore now. Firstly, he is casting out a demon. Well, the obvious thing that this points out is that there are demons. There really are demons. There are the forces of hell, the enemy of the soul. They are fallen angels, and as such, they maintain an angelic nature. They don't have bodies, and so they are not impeded in any way by a door that you might lock. They never sleep, and therefore they always see what you're doing. They, as angels, they never forget anything. Now imagine yourself as a, what do you call them? Like an expert at the FBI who gathers all possible information about a possible criminal profiler, and gathers all this possible information that they give, little bits and pieces of data, and assembles a portrait, a picture of the one they're searching for. Well, you know, those FBI profilers are pretty good at what they do. But imagine how an angel who sees everything that you've done and never forgets anything, imagine what a good profiler that angel is, what that fallen, that dead demon is, your guardian angel on the one hand, but also the demons that are trying to bring you down. It's not that any of them can control your mind, or even read, you know, your deepest thoughts and so forth, but they can see everything that you do, and they get a pretty good idea of who you are. You imagine your parents with your children. You're watching them. You get a pretty good idea about who they are. And you young ones, don't make any mistake about this. Your parents have got your number. They know who you are. Well, imagine it's the same thing with the enemy of the soul. They get a pretty good idea of who we are and how to trip us up. And there are those cases in which people can grant to the enemy of the soul, to demons, fallen angels, a kind of a permission to oppress them or even possess them, to take them over, literally to control their bodies. And it's real. It does happen. And the Lord is dealing with this here. He's casting out a demon. And then he goes and he talks about an unclean spirit that's gone out of a man, right? All this business about he casts out a demon, and then he says, okay, this unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through waterless places seeking rest. He doesn't find anything, so he says, I'm going to go back to where I was. And when he goes back, he finds it nice and tidy. And then he goes and he brings seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man becomes worse than it was before. See, the enemy of the soul wants to destroy us. And so when there is an opening, when there is an opportunity, they're going to get in any way they can. Now, the point I think the Lord is trying to make here is that if you are empty, the wrong kind of thing can come in if you let it. But if you've emptied yourself for the purpose of being filled with the light of Christ, then there's going to be no room for the enemy of the soul. If the demon comes and finds you ready to just let him in, then they've got an opening. Now, remember that we also have angel guardians. We have the sacraments and the sacramentals of the church. We have a lot of armor. And we have, we can be confident. We can be confident that God is going to protect us from the enemy of the soul in many different ways. And we can call upon the help of our angels and upon the saints and upon the Mother of God, Mary, Mother of God, and Saint Joseph in this beautiful year dedicated to Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph is called Terror of Demons. They're terrified of Joseph. And we have the sacraments, staying close to the sacraments. These are the things that we need, the ordinary means that Holy Church gives us, that each and every one of you know. If you use these things well, and you examine your consciences, this whole business of sweeping the house and so forth, and examine your conscience as well, and you go to confession when you need to go to confession, and you use your sacramentals, and you receive Holy Communion in the state of grace, then you're just fine. You don't have to worry. This issue, however, about sweeping the house, I want to make a point about that. You know, the sweeping the house and putting it in order. Lent is a time for us to sweep and put our house into order, to clean things up. Now, one of the principal ways that we do this in the spiritual life is through a good examination of conscience. That's a good way to start sweeping the house. You look around, you figure out, when you're engaged in cleaning the house, you look around and you have to see what has to be done, right? You clean what needs to be cleaned. Well, that means you have to search out and see what needs to be cleaned. Well, that's what you do when you do an examination of conscience. You look to see what needs to be tidied up. And sometimes it's an unpleasant task. Unpleasant enough that we put it off. Just like knowing that if you look in the back of the refrigerator, you're going to find something that you really don't want to look at. And so maybe you don't look back there, because you know that there's something back there. Well, we gotta look in the back. When we clean the floor, you know, you could go around the broom, you know, kind of maybe around the chair. Ever done that? Instead of moving the chair and actually sweeping under the table, no, you kind of go around it. You don't really get to what needs to be cleaned. Move the chair. Look in the back of the fridge. You've got to look into the darker corners, friends, for an examination of conscience. This is what the season of Lent is meant to be. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of cleaning. You know, when Passover was going to come, the ancient Jews, they would clean their houses to make sure that there was nothing of any leaven in the house. They had to clean everything from top to bottom, spotless, impeccable, getting it ready. Well, this is what we need to do as well. We need to tidy up our houses. Not so that the seven demons worse than before can come in, but so that every possible place in our life can be filled with the love of God, who is just waiting to pour it on, pour it into us. Yeah, anything that's filled up with your own junk is not going to get filled up with the love of God. So get out there and make a good examination of conscience. I recommend every single evening before you go to bed, for you who are a little less seasoned, some of you younger faces out there that I'm looking at, maybe a good time to do that is when you are brushing your teeth. Because you got to brush your teeth, right? At least I sure hope you're brushing your teeth at night before you go to bed. It's one of those things that you don't omit doing. You never forget to do. You know you've got to do it, so you do it. But sometimes, in order not to forget to do something else, attach it to something that you never forget to do. So if you attach your examination of conscience to the time when you're also brushing your teeth, you won't forget to do it until it becomes the habit of a lifetime. An evening examination. If there is one thing, if there were one thing that I can leave behind with the people of the Diocese of Madison, it would be this: to ingrain in them the habit of making a regular examination of conscience. If I could get you to do that, I'd be one of the happiest priests in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.